Welcome to Prison Voices, an ACLU podcast series about prison in the United States. It's Wednesday, November 2nd, and today, the ACLU National Prison Project is releasing a report about the private prison industry. So to mark the occasion, we're going to hear from an expert on private prisons, Alex Friedman, a former prisoner who served 10 years in Tennessee jails, six of them in a Corrections Corporation of America, or CCA-run prison. Friedman is now the associate editor for Prison Legal News and the president of the Private Corrections Institute, a nonprofit watchdog group that opposes for-profit prison.
My involvement in the private prison issue stems from my personal experiences, having served a total of 10 years in jails and prisons in the state of Tennessee for having committed some very violent crimes in the late 1980s and early 1990s. The time that I served included 6 years at a privately operated facility, the CCA-run South Central Correctional Facility in Clifton, Tennessee, as well as a number of publicly run correctional facilities. And it was my experience at that CCA-run prison that led me to embark on a career, if you will, lobbying against and arguing against prison privatization. In my view, the worst thing about the private prison industry is that they have normalized the notion of incarcerating people for profit, basically commodifying people, seeing them as nothing more than a revenue stream instead of individual human beings. And that might be an abstract notion, but I think it's very dangerous when we reduce people, whether they're incarcerated or not, to mere numbers on a spreadsheet where you're calculating how much money you're making. I think when people hear the idea of, okay, let's privatize our police force, and for everybody that they arrest, they get more money, they would instantly realize there's some inherent problem with that. When you pay people, and if you arrest more people, you get more money. That just, you know, that provides an incentive to just arrest more people and make more money. But the same type of problem exists with our private prison industry, where we're saying, okay, if you incarcerate more people and you put more people in your private prisons, you make more money, which provides a perverse incentive against reforming our justice system and increasing the number of people we're putting in prison, whether they need to be there or not, just to generate corporate profit. I think that's incredibly immoral and ethical, and I think that is the worst aspect of our private prison industry. Part of the reason that private prisons exist is because we have more prisoners than we have capacity to house in our public prison system. So if we have capacity for 2 million prisoners in the United States in our public facilities, but we have locked up 2.3 million, then we have to find somewhere to put that excess. And that really is why the private prison industry came into being, to capitalize on a market for prison beds, because the United States is over-incarcerating. We're putting more people behind bars than we have prison beds. So private prison companies stepped in and says, if you need more beds, we have more beds. Simply pay us, contract with us, and you can put your prisoners in our facilities. So as part of a larger picture, if we want to reduce reliance on private prisons, we have to reduce our prison population, which means reducing our reliance on incarceration as a front-end form of punishing offenders. There are a lot of other alternatives to incarceration, plenty of them, you know, probation, work release, community service, fines, day reporting, weekend incarceration, lots of stuff, you know, some fairly creative, but we generally don't do that. As a nation, we believe people are only punished if they are sitting in a cell. And because of that mindset, and because politicians like to be tough on crime and they like to capitalize on that mindset, we have embarked on a huge incarceration scheme in the United States, where now we have 5% of the world's population and around 25% of the world's prisoners. So before we can talk about reducing prison privatization, we have to talk about reducing our nation's prison population as a whole, which of course is going to be very difficult because politicians don't like to do anything to decrease are the numbers of prisoners in our system, because it makes them look soft on crime. But that is the discussion we need to have, and the keystone to that discussion is sentencing reform. So we have to look at our sentencing laws, which determines how many people we put in prison for how long. So one aspect of the private prison issue that is not discussed, but should be, and that I think is of extreme importance, is the impact that the private prison industry has had on stymieing criminal justice reform in the United States over the last 20 or so years. Right now, we're in an economic recession. We are having major budget crises on the state level and on the federal level. A number of states have realized that they can't continue doing what they've been doing in terms of incarcerating people in large numbers for long periods of time, because it is busting their budgets. They are basically going broke continuing to do that. Nationwide, we spend upwards of $60 to $70 billion on our criminal justice system. That's enormous. And that's money, since this is a zero-sum game, that could be spent on education or medical care or affordable housing or take your pick of many other socially beneficial issues. We could have had criminal justice reform much earlier on. We haven't, because the private prison industry provides this safety valve for states and the federal government that want to continue over-incarcerating. They didn't have to address their sentencing laws or their criminal justice policies previously, because they could always rely on the private prison industry to step in to provide the bed space they needed. So by doing that, the private prison industry has prevented meaningful sentencing reform and criminal justice reform in the U.S. for decades. It's only now that we are in the midst of an ongoing, relentless economic recession that some states are beginning to realize they have to cut costs and are making some criminal justice reforms to do so, such as early releases or reforming their parole process and procedures and closing some prisons and so on. But that could have been done much earlier were it not for the private prison industry. In terms of what people can do about this issue, the first thing I would say is get educated. Learn about the issue. Go to some of the sites that work on private prison issues. Our website, prisonlegalnews.org, is one of them. Another is the Private Corrections Institute website, which is privateci.org, where there's a wealth of information about prison privatization. And there's another number of other good sites, too. And kind of get a handle around the scope of the problem and how these companies operate and why it might not be in the best interest of the public for them to be doing this type of business, to be incarcerating people for profit. Once you have that education, then you can take that to other people. You can contact lawmakers and policymakers and encourage them to learn more about this industry and some of its more deleterious effects.
To learn more about private prisons, go to our website at aclu.org/private-prisons. Thanks for listening to ACLU Prison Voices, and we wanted to let you know that the music in this piece was provided by Moby Gratis.